Now entering Nerdist.com.
This week's episode is sponsored by AdamandEve.com. Hey, the holidays are upon us. Have you found which goodies you'd like to stuff under your tree or bed or closet or whatever your hiding place is until the appropriate time? Well, Adam and Eve is determined to help you find all the things you need, naughty or nice. Go to AdamandEve.com and you'll get 50% off almost any item when you enter offer code SEXNERD at checkout. Okay, so that's a great deal, right? But if you use our promo code right now, you'll also get a free Big O kit. Who doesn't love a kit or an O or free? Yeah. Adam and Eve's Big O kit includes their exclusive Climax gel and a mini vibe. You'll also get the entire order sent to you for free. Oh, joy. So many things. So hurry. Take advantage of this deal while it lasts. You can choose a new adult toy, new knotted movie, almost anything else, lingerie, hey, for 50% off. Then you'll also get free shipping plus the Big O kit, Climax gel, the vibe. Hey, just use offer code SEXNERD at checkout. Use it now. Do it, do it, do it. Yeah. Sex nerd at adamandeve.com. Woo. Hey, friend. Welcome to the Thanksgiving episode. I am thankful that you are listening. This week, every year I try and do something Thanksgiving-esque, and I just covered fisting a few weeks ago. So I mean, turkey stuffing. Yeah, that's an odd tie-in. Like every year I go, oh, I'll talk about that. That's cheesy. To a certain degree. Truly, I think I'm uncomfortable with the vulnerability of really telling you how much I appreciate you. I do. A lot of you have been with me since the beginning, and you have noticed and seen the changes through just where I'm at emotionally, the things I know, the things I don't, the mistakes I've made, the various guests and their journeys, and we've learned together. Have we cried together? We may have cried together. There have been some teary moments, but mainly we have laughed together, and it has been wonderful. I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. If you are on your way to something very unsexy, like a family reunion or something, be safe. I know a lot of you are driving, flying. Take care of yourselves. Sleep enough. Take some personal time. This is the holidays are stressful. And no matter when you are listening to this, I am so proud to say I can share space with Nina Hartley, because she is a powerhouse when it comes to sex positive thought and perspective. And she is a unique point of view out in the universe. I had a great time. I'm so glad I could have her over into my home to talk about sexual technique, especially for penetration, etc. We start out with a kind of a retrospective of 30 years in porn, since she is celebrating her Pearl anniversary, which is appropriate. It's appropriate. And you get to notice a little bit of flustering on my part when she flirts with me a bit. So that's fun. Enjoy that. Oh, and there's a really funny threesome conversation at the end. I had forgotten about that. A little side note about stuff coming up. I apologize for this in advance, but the fundraiser I am hosting on this Monday, December 1st, has been postponed. Yes, it's going to be postponed until the springtime. So if you've donated, that money is still going toward what the fundraiser is for, but the actual event itself, if you bought a ticket, it's still happening. It's just a little further down the road. Oh, anyway, what else? Little update. I am sitting in my home right now and I'm full of joy looking around. I moved my library of sex books right next to my desk. I'm moving everything around. You know how, like, when you realize that nothing is working? Like when you look at your wardrobe and you're like, wow, all these colors look terrible on me. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done that and go, maybe I should get more appealing colors. Why is everything salmon colored? That's a weird color to wear. So I'm looking at all the marriage and therapy and technique and massage books and philosophy books right next to my desk. And they're just like juicy knowledge fruits ripe for the picking. I love it. And I have renewed my commitment to myself in self-care. You know, I mentioned from time to time that exercise increases my positive feelings and my energy levels. So I've started exercising again. I've also instilled, this is new, a bedtime. I've never had a bedtime. Sandra Doherty, November 2014. I have a bedtime for the first time in my life. It's actually really helping for how much sleep I have. you know, the world feels really sad and frustrating sometimes. There's a lot of difficult stuff happening out there in the world. And at the end of the day, take care of yourself. We can do at least that much. So, yeah, bedtimes, eating better, exercise, the simple things. Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Let's get into it with Nina, man. So many things.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hi, Nina Hartley.
Hello, Sex Nerd Sandra. Thank you so much for having me in your lovely home.
You're welcome. Thanks and welcome back.
Yay, yeah.
Yeah, I just created an intentional podcasting space in my home.
It's awesome. No, I love that. I love the psychedelic mandala-like pattern on the little tablecloth here.
Thank you.
It is really nice. The ambient indirect lighting, the fun art. It's a very nice place. I love your giraffe, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
So they're really characterful. I like that giraffe. Like, it looks like you just swallowed a fly.
Yeah, I've got a lot of hopes and dreams for anthropomorphic animal art on my walls. I'm really feeling it.
I know we're not supposed to do that, but I anthropomorphize too.
Huh.
Yeah, I like it because I'm a cat person, but I like, I'm one of those women. I do not look at porn online. I look at cat videos. If you had a cat and a baby or a puppy and a baby, then I'm just down the rabbit hole. It's like, and with an hour lost, I can never get back.
Oh my God. Have you ever watched the videos of soldiers coming home to their kids?
No, they're, actually, I feel, I don't mind watching soldiers come home to their dogs, but watching soldiers come home to their kids, that's so personal. That's so voyeuristic. I don't like that, especially when they surprise a child at school. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, shouldn't it be a private moment? That's so raw and that's so real and that's so not. One thing about watching pornography, everyone has
bringing it back.
No, because every woman has a vulva, mm-hmm, and every man has a penis and testicles, except for the people who are in between those two binaries. Mm-hmm. That if I show you my vulva, I show you my elbow, I show you my knee. Mm-hmm. I have a vulva. I'm a female person. I have a vulva. Big whoop. Mm-hmm. But in all the porn I've done, I've very little of me that I've shown.
Ooh.
I've used my vulva. And in the service of my art, my craft, my message, my mm-hmm bigger purpose in life. But and it is real in that everything I do on camera, I do anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's not. I'm not. Anything I do on camera, I do at home for free and for fun. Plus, a lot more things that you don't see me do on camera. So I have mm-hmm a very active personal sexual life that does not depend on money or cameras, which is why I can do what I do. But just because I show you my vulva, you haven't seen me. Mm-hmm. You've seen a part of my body that we're supposed to keep covered, but I don't get that. So, hey. And besides, I like vulvas. They're really neat. You know, aren't they awesome?
I recently attended your female cunnilingus class.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Do tell me.
It was marvelous. Yeah. Do tell you what?
No, because I always feel I should be talking more about technique. It's like, it's not so much technique. It's about attitude. You know, once you know your anatomical landmarks, mm-hmm, what am I feeling back there? Instead of it's in there, so, oh no, that's the posterior fornix I'm feeling. Oh, that's the lateral fornix I'm feeling. Once you give a name to what you're touching, but what you do to evolve it depends on the vulva's owner and your smooth at the time. How much time do you have? And so I can give you a couple of techniques that always get you to third gear. You know, that mm-hmm most women people like these moves, mm-hmm, but the exact thing, you know, lick your tongue that way or slip your tongue that way. It's like, you'll figure it out in the moment.
Actually, this is being released Thanksgiving week. And every year for Thanksgiving, I think about, like, what am I going to do? Because the holiday episodes are always kind of fun and kind of silly. Like, I'm wearing my kangaroo onesie because I'm like, screw it. The weather changed. But I thought, how much I appreciate you and what you do.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And you recently celebrated 30 years in porn.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this past March, March of 14.
Right.
Crazy.
Totally crazy. I was telling a friend of mine that, like, oh, Nina's going to come on the show. It's going to be so fun. And I mentioned the 30-year mark, and they're like, has anyone ever marked more? Like, is that, like, do you know anyone who has been in porn longer?
Female, no. I'm definitely, I've got the, certainly Ginger Lynn started in 83, but she retired several times, has gone for good. Amber Lynn started in late 83. Amber Lynn and Ginger Lynn precede me into porn by 4 months.
Okay.
So they make the 83 mark, and I make the early 84 mark, but we're basically the same time. But I am the only woman I know who had a continuous career for 30 years. No retirements, no comebacks, no reboots. I've just been, you know, slow and steady wins the race. Annie Sprinkle started earlier, but she's retired since 84. Candida Royale retired in 84, but mm-hmm. she started in 78, 9. Mm-hmm. But she hasn't been in front of the camera in over 20, you know, that she's that part
they're
of
out
life
of the
done.
Race.
They're out, yeah. out of that race. But for me, sex is my thing. I'll be on camera in some form until I'm dead, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Because I have a lot. First, I love it. Being around people entrusting me with their genitalia is still such an honor and such a delight that I never tire of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? For me? Thank you. But what am I thankful for? So we're talking about, you know, holidays. I'm thankful that I live as a queer woman in the modern Western world in a culturally liberal time and place.
It's quite a privilege.
Quite a privilege. I don't need to worry about being stoned to death for showing my ankle.
Oh, okay.
I don't need to worry about being gang raped for being a whore. I don't need to worry about being burned with acid because my mother-in-law thinks I didn't bring enough money with me to the wedding. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about having my genitals mutilated to make me pure and suitable for marriage. I'm middle class Caucasian person. Mm-hmm. So I understand my privilege, and it's a privilege to be able to make a living doing something creative that I like. And as a nurse, it's a privilege to be able to work in a field that is so painful for so many people and be able to offer real help and comfort to individuals that they can use on their own in their own time. So my job is to empower every person who wants to reclaim the relationship with their body. And all goes back to religious ideas of what is right and wrong for males and females, purity versus non-purity, the Madonna whore, et cetera, et cetera. So all goes back to the tyranny of a state religion. Mm-hmm. We don't have one here, but it is. Our country is a Judeo-Christian country, and the laws against sex work are based on a Judeo-Christian interpretation of the right and proper role of the genders and of sexuality. Mm-hmm. And it has to be here, only here, anything else but here is bad.
So it's all very important, and I'm glad that you lay it out so clearly, which is helpful, because for me it's always a jumble of feelings and thoughts and questions, and so it's like, yes. But I love that you laid out all the things you're thankful for, and because we are so lucky, and they're
lucky in the whole world, women like you and I are lucky. We live in the West, and we can get birth control. We can have credit in our own name. We can divorce. We can vote. We can run for public office. We can own property. This is
so often we're focused on the negatives or the anger about, like, oh, I grew up Baptist, and that was really frustrating. And it is. It's a struggle for sure when you have things in society that are holding you back and frustrating you. However, there's so much good, and there's so much progress that has been made in the last several hundred years. It's
crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so what can we do? So that's why for me, sexual autonomy is so important. And what I like about the work that I promote and the help that I offer is any physical entity can do this work.
Which work?
The work of becoming okay with your body, comfortable with pleasure, and okay being alone with yourself in a room.
This is the most righteous work, like the most punk rock you can be.
It's essential because it requires no outside energy, requires no mm-hmm. electricity, requires no media, it requires no interpretation. It's just you, your body, and your hand mm-hmm. in a room. Lock the doors, leave your phone on the other side of the door, close the windows, and learn to be okay with yourself in that space, mm-hmm. and learn to be okay with your own company, and learn to be okay in your skin and the work, and forget penetration. We're talking about just external touching. Mm-hmm. Forget anything going inside of us, which is even a bigger, the whole other layer mm-hmm. of acceptance of sensation. So we're talking just about learning how to be okay with our skin. Yeah.
I was just picturing, like, when I see myself naked in the mirror, like when I walk by, and sometimes I'm like, oh, looking good today, or like, that maybe I should get to the gym, you know, stuff like that. And there, I don't take enough time to just be like, I've got some cellulite going on there. Love it. You know, I don't take time
I don't love my cellulite, but I don't dwell on it. Because okay. I know that when I'm in public, I dress in such a way as to either hide it or draw attention away from it. Mm-hmm. I keep my clothes on, and the 25-year-old person can be naked. And let's face it, I like my body as well as the next person, but I'd rather look at a 25-year-old person naked than me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just because that's that. What do 18 to 25-year-olds bring? Youth and beauty. Yay, yay them. Yay, mm-hmm. yay. That's part of their job.
You don't get a surge of disappointment when you see yourself.
I don't because first, if I'm going to create media, I can Photoshop. I can make myself look as good as I want. So there's that. At home with my lover, I feel perfectly happy and sexy naked. I know because the people I have in my circle as playmates, as people who get to see me naked in my own home, having sex that I have for fun and for socializing, A, the lighting is dim. B, when I'm hugging you, I can see you. You can see me from the boobs up.
So the closer you get.
That's all behind. And then, of course, it's about feeling. And I don't share sex in private with people that I cannot just shower approval on and they shower approval back. We consciously decide to do that. And I also know that the packaging does not determine how good the sexual experience is going to be, how satisfying, fun, erotic, intimate, warm, fuzzy, great, romantic it is. As a queer person, I'm more interested in energy than I am in packaging. Mm-hmm. And so if the energy is right, the packaging, I have a wide variety of packaging with whom I'll be sexual, things being equal for grooming and hygiene.
When you say energy, like, what's my energy? Like, what do you mean by energy?
People that I would like to mix molecules with. You know, I've always had a thing for you. I will flirt with you. And I have a long time. I'll flirt with you for 20 years. It's cool. I have one female friend that she's so straight that our entire sex life is me flirting and her giggling.
Well, what do you use flirting? Because sometimes I don't understand. Like, I intellectualize way too much.
Oh,
so.
Hi. Me too. Hi.
Nice
I'm
to
Mina.
You.
I'm an over-intellectualizer.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
We have ballroom dance from time to time.
Yes. And that's with a woman who primarily identifies as heterosexual, that is a level of quote unquote sex that I have with her. Mm-hmm. My body's next to hers. I'm making her feel sexy and fun and flirty. And then when I give her that energy, she can go off and share it with whoever. Once I was able, I'm finishing up reading the second edition of The Ethical Slut.
Okay.
It's a must read for anybody wanting to just understand how people like me tick, and also for help in figuring out how can they create their own sexual life in a way that's suitable to them. Mm-hmm. So the wonderful book, Ethical Slut, second edition by Easton and Hardy.
I have it right over there.
It is brilliant. Everyone should read it as often as necessary. And I always wanted... One of the reasons I love Ernest so much is I could not mate with somebody after my first marriage who didn't understand sex the way that I understand sex, which is I don't require my romance and my sex to always be the same person. I'm lucky that I have romance and sex from one person, which is mm-hmm. Ernest. Yay. Wow. Cool. Golly. But I like sex, i.e., I like spending naked time with a wide variety of people in a wide variety of circumstances, some of which are super intimate and romantic, and others mm-hmm. are usually friendlicht and group oriented and supportive. I'm just going to be a midwife. My job is to help you into your body. My job is to help anybody as much into their body as they can get that day, and then give them ideas to go home. And so
sexual fairy godmother.
Yeah, I'm a nurse, and so a nurse's role, among other things, is to advocate, educate, and role model.
Oh, okay.
So I advocate for sexual freedom and liberation mm-hmm. and for people who can't speak of it, because I'm not going to lose my job. Mm-hmm. I have no kids to humiliate. Mm-hmm. I'm out to my family. What are they going to do to me? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not running for public office. I don't go to the PTA. It's all good. So advocate, a role model. How does it look for someone who lives, what does it look like? Mm-hmm. Looks like me. And then I educate. How can one do this? How can a person get from where they are to a place where they feel comfortable in their skin? You can do this. Cause you know why? Cause you have skin.
And I do.
Anybody who has skin can do this work. That's what I love about this work. This is what I learned way back in the 60s and 70s about in the beginning, the power of therapeutic massage to help it make. Now it's very common. You can go to any place and get therapeutic massage or sports massage. But when I was a kid, it was the beginning of making massage from being creepy, weird to a legitimate therapeutic thing that a normal, i.e., non-freaky, non-kinky, non-alt person can have. And not,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it used
to be creepy to get a massage. It
used to be only athletes.
Okay.
Or guys who wanted the happy ending, but just a housewife going to massage envy, housewife going to the Thai massage spa as a okay thing, that was huge. And so my journey to become Nina Hartley started with a very uptight 13-year-old person who needed to reorient her relationship to her body, and that started with non-sexual massage and teaching myself how to breathe past my third rib while having non-sexual touch applied to my body in a way that, and I didn't have to give anything back. So it's just learning how to receive. It's still difficult for me. So it started in such small ways. And eventually I added the genital component to it, but it didn't start there. It started with, can I accept non-threatening, non-sexual, caring, kind touch and at the same time, breathe deeply, letting feelings flow through my body.
It sounds like a sensate focus a little bit.
Yes.
It's just neutral, no performance anxiety or expectation put on the touch. Just
this was the 60s. It's the 60s. This is where it was at.
Yeah.
So I was born in 1959. So by 1972 is when I started. I'd grown up in the soup of all these things and ideas, but by 1972, I was actively seeking out information. No, by 1971, actually, I was actively seeking out more information. Luckily, grew up in Berkeley, it was just there. My parents were so busy contemplating their navels, they didn't look at what I was reading, you know.
I have my hand up because a question. It's like I'm afraid to interrupt your flow because you're expressing so much. I have a question for you.
Yes.
It's kind of... I feel shy. Okay. Context.
Yes.
The context to this question is that in contemplating my gratitude for you and your work is also acknowledging how much I've learned from you. You know, little things that I've learned, like if you nibble on the place between the thumb and first and then the index finger, you can show someone how you like oral sex done on you. You know, you recently showed me a thing, play with the bridge of your nose, and that's kind of how to jerk off a clit, stuff like that. And I always attribute that, like, I learned this from Nina Hartley, and like I feel silly asking you this, but I want to brainstorm with you on something, and I think you might have some wisdom to help me with this. One thing is because of all the, because there's so much political correctness around what language to use and how to be inclusive in classes, I've realized recently that I rarely now actually talk about penis and vagina sex. Like, I'm always talking butt stuff. I'm talking oral a lot, but penis and vagina sex, especially just woman on bottom sex, just, and I teach the cat technique, coital alignment technique, a lot
it's
in classes.
It's a great technique.
It's important. I think it's fundamental to sex knowledge. However, I actually kind of have a dark, like almost like a blinder around PIV sex because I feel like I'm offending someone when I talk about it.
I will always, okay, so yes, we'll continue. Sorry.
So I'm trying to just allow myself to think about it again. Oh my God, I can't believe it's been years of me teaching and I'm kind of like, oh my God, I really need to get back into this. Is for people who don't have much experience in martial arts or dancing, like if people follow me on Facebook, I just asked this past week about like, what aspects of your knowledge base help you in bed, like dance or meditation music theory and rhythm, things like that. How, if people don't really have all of those areas of knowledge, how do you teach someone to be better at, let's say they're wielding a dildo or penis and they're up in a woman, how do you teach somebody to keep rhythm and give pleasure through, thrusting and movement?
Like, Well, first, the CAT technique also works with a good strap-on dildo.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it is a, and when you think of cake, I love the coital alignment technique, the CAT technique, because it really puts, once you understand that there's a geometry, they're practical nuts and bolts, physical space taking up about sex. The angle of your clitoris over from your pubic bone is A, the angle of the dildo is B, or the angle of the erection is C, and your how engorged your vulva is D, and so at a certain level, I mean, I got good at sex in a complete Aspergian way.
Okay.
It was strictly all about, I call it the girl machine, but the body as machine.
So all right.
Attaching, I could make the organism feel really good, but attaching feelings, heart to the sensation I was creating, that took a while. So for me, the physical part came easy. Wait. The social part of sex was much more difficult for me.
Do you mean that, like, if you're touching someone's penis, you have a sense of what they're experiencing, an empathy to
pleasure?
There's
an empathy, but I'm also thinking about it strictly mechanically. So now if I I put pressure on the taint, that means I'm doing the indirect prostate stimulation and getting the back of the corpus cavernosum. And if I coordinate my squeezing technique on the taint with the zipper pull on the shaft, and he's, you know, so I
zipper pull.
It's a very mechanical. So there's a mechanical thing, because the body, if you stimulate the nerve endings this way, there will be a response. So if I poke you, you're going to jump away. If I stroke you, you're going to relax. And so every body, if you pay attention to it, will tell you what it needs. And so I try to have no ego. For me, it took me a long time. My 25, I was with somebody, and I was so happy to be there. And she was very good about telling me what she needed to get off. And I was very helpful. At the time I was doing this, and I was so into what I was doing, and then she would say left, right, up, down. I would find myself being annoyed. And then I quickly got over myself, because I realized, wait, if I'm here to make her feel good, why am I getting upset when she tells me what she wants? So I was able to drop that pretty early in my career, because I can't give you an orgasm. No one gives anybody an orgasm. You help them find it. Hold your hair, hold your hat, hold the lube, hold your foot, you know, but I can't give you anything. I can make it safe for you to pick it up. I can make it safe for you to go looking for it, and vice versa. But you don't give me an orgasm. I give me an orgasm. You play support. I play support for my partner. And if we're lucky, the woman, she has a low enough orgasmic threshold that she's quote unquote easily orgasmic, and then it feels like it is you. I'm doing this. Ha 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 ha. Hey, no, it's her. She's doing it, and you're just along for the ride. Praise be to the Jesus. So, how do you teach somebody if I were to be that person's teacher, I would start way back and go back to hands.
Okay.
Understood, or I felt that the person doing the penetrating understood what it was they were doing, and they understood where am I touching, and they understood, and they were able to connect what I'm doing with my fingers with the response of her.
I mean, like, if I press up toward the belly button,
she makes this noise.
Movement.
And if I do this, she makes that noise. And if I do this, she grabs my hand and pulls it in. If she humps my, so just connecting, first having some kind of anatomical knowledge. Because the vagina is not a hole; it's an organ. It has. If you're talking about a penis owning person listening to this, think about your erection. You have a top, a side, an edge. That one spot on the right side of your corona, and the, you know, so you have favorite spots that you touch on your erection, and you manipulate your erection in such a way that you can cause sensation all over it, and you can touch it lightly and softly and fast and slow, and you know, this texture of lube versus that texture of lube, bare hand. So our vaginas are very similar. Depending on where you touch it, it will produce different sensations in the owner, and she will make different noises and hopefully vocalize to you different things of support. And
so you're mapping with your hands to really get a sense. And then,
mapping with your hands, and then you're going to get a toy that's not too big. Ideally, you're going to get a toy that is, if we're talking about going from 0 to 6, this might take 4 or 5 sessions. So, and then once you've done enough learning today, go onto your regularly scheduled orgasms. If that means 2 minutes of intercourse for him and then the buzzer for her, whatever. And the next time, so then you've got to learn how to use a toy about the same size as his own erection. and what is she like? And
oh, that's interesting. You know, I've never thought about that actually.
So then learning, you know, yeah, again, it's about geometry. So once you know your anterior wall from your posterior wall and your lateral fornix from your cervical os,
I haven't even gotten that advanced right. up in there.
You know, and so then you are learning to use the dildo as a lever and the perineal muscles as a fulcrum.
Wait, perineal muscles. We're talking about the
pussy hole.
So she's on her back.
You're going to use the lower part of her vulva. It's called where all the lips come together toward her taint. It's called the fourchette.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to place, you're going to use, so she's on her back. Obviously, when you penetrate her, all your weight is going to be balancing on the penetrating object on her perineum.
God.
Women are very, very strong. So then you work the angle. So when I press on the perineum and so... lever and fulcrum. So again, as a penetrator, if I do this, what sounds does she make? When I do that, what sound does she make? Oh, she seems to like this particular stroke. Note to self, you know, go deeper on the in stroke and pull up on the out stroke or whatever. And then if you're really going to draw it out, then you want to get the gentleman in question a harness. And so he can actually use the dildo and stroke her and observe how his hip movements, knowing that he's moving this dildo in a certain way, makes her feel. So then, when I do tuck under, when I hip over, when I if I move up on her, which makes the top of the dildo rub on her, rub on her vestibule versus back on my knees, where it means the bottom of the dildo is pressing on her perineum, which is pushes the dildo into her G spot. So it's a mechanical thing, and then eventually you can put your actual penis, because some men get pussy fever. Oh my God, the pussy! And they forget all, you know. And then again,
when I first started strapping on, I turned into a 12-year-old.
Thank you. Okay, high five. It's like, oh my God. This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is some really great shit. Oh my God, it's so fun. Because it's awesome. I mean, I get why people with pokey outy things like to go pokey any things. First time I put on a strap on, it's like, I get it. It's like, ding, all the feminist anti-male rant. It's like, I get it. It your hand rests there very naturally. It pokes out. You poke in. Yay. It seems like a fit, you know? I mean.
Now, for me, I remember the moment after, you know, when being a beginner strap-onner, the look of kind of boredom and pretend excitement on my partner's face. And then it like something was like, oh no, I'm being that guy. Like I remember that moment. It was an important moment.
It is.
But hearing you talk, I love it because I used to co-teach a long time ago with a woman named Mary, and we, for blowjobs, I asked her like how she breaks down a blowjob, and she told me that she starts with the balls and how she grips them and works her way up to the mouth, and that's like how she that's her foundation. And for me, I had always worked from mouth down, like you mouth, and then everything accentuates and echoes what's happening in my mouth. So she works bottom up, I work top down.
Win-win.
You mentioned that using the entire opening as a fulcrum, but especially the fourchette, where for me, the pubic bone,
yeah. the pubic arch is part of the pelvis. So yeah.
Okay. A pubic bone, pelvic arch, but that hard bar on the top to me is the central landmark for.
It absolutely is.
There's no right or wrong. It's just neat that you're.
Yeah. So if we're going to talk about non-penetrating fun, then I'm going to start at the top. So again, if my eyebrow arches the pubic bone and the ridge of my nose, if I just put my two middle fingers tightly together.
And then the tip of the nose is the clit?
And so this is the shaft. The tip of the nose is going to be the clit. So the nostrils to the upper lip is going to go roughly along with the vestibule. And then, of course, the mouth opening, you can, you know, make that the vaginal introitus, which is his opening. Not the beat, but the urinary meatus and vaginal introitus. Why it's an introitus and why it's not a vaginal meatus, I don't know. But it is. So go back to do your Latin.
I was calling the introitus the vestibule. And you said vestibule is up.
The vestibule is between the urinary meatus and the tip of the clitoris.
then I've been screwing up. I've screwed up a lot of people with my...
No. And the introitus, and the introitus, the actual open, the pussy, the hole itself is the introitus.
Okay. Because I remember, you know, somebody, I remember saying that the vestibule is like the mudroom for the vagina, and it always stuck. And I don't know who I
saw.
I'm blaming someone else for it is what I'm doing.
No. But the best, I call the vestibule, as opposed, not to be mistaken for a foyer. And sure, if you look in the dictionary that gives you the etiology of words, vestibule probably is the Latin meaning ante, you know, again, I don't have a dictionary in front of me.
I'm worrying way too much about semantics. Let's see. But you're referencing the shaft and giving the orientation
exactly.
of the mouth.
And for me, I wish that the difference between a woman, the difference between a person tolerating penetration and craving penetration is 15 minutes of proper stimulation. So if you, as a doer, air quotes, cannot find something fun to do for 15 minutes, you are not tall enough to be on this ride.
Oh.
No, because calm the fuck. And this is where porn is where most porn gives a very bad. You know, people listening, porn is not sex education. Porn is entertainment. I understand why people want in. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I understand when you have an erection, if you're a XY person, once the penis is erect, it is the center of all attention. Mm-hmm. In real life, erections come and go, lubrication comes and goes, and a real life sex is supposed to be ping and a pong and a ping and a pong. Mm-hmm. And if you get erect,
back and forth, back and forth.
I get quite aroused when I'm doing stuff to people. So if I'm giving oral pleasure or oral manual pleasure to either gender, I get engorged, I get wet, I'm totally there. I don't have to touch myself. Erections, like internal engorgement, happen from the inside out. So if you're totally in the moment as a guy, you'll be hard. Mm-hmm. You can also add external stimulation. But one thing in porn, the men manufacture erection from the outside in.
Okay.
They stimulate the nerve endings and get into their heads until their dick gets hard. But those erections are often fragile because they're not coming from a strong place that day. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's their third scene that week. They had a fight with their girlfriend last night or whatever.
If you're going outside in, you can lose it easier because it's only physical stimulation.
It's only physical, and unless there's a connection, since good sex takes a connection. And I've had good connection on porn sets with men. I mean, so if the right guy can really be there for an hour and a half. Marco Banderas is good that way. Shawn Michaels is good that way. Danny Wilde was good. They would make love with you for an hour and a half without then wanting to go home with you and have dinner. It was awesome. I love working with them. So at home, you know, a arousal, good solid arousal happens from the inside out. You feel safe, secure, wanted, attracted, attractive, kissy, you know, everything's humming along. Your genitals will likely, unless you're on strong antidepressants, will probably respond as genitals do by engorging and lubricating. And men lubricate too. The pre-cum, you hardly ever see pre-cum in porno because the men are not that aroused. They're erect, but they're not aroused.
I see the difference.
And so when you have a guy who's really in the zone, he'll be dribbling pre-cum out of his penis that you know, you touch your nose to it, you'll pull back a foot and it'll be there. And that's a guy who is really, really turned on. That the way, if you're really turned on as a woman, you will find, you know, you'll either your legs, you open your legs, you'll have the long, silky, sticky lubricant sticking to your legs, it'll drip down your legs. So you're there. It is juicy. Sex is a juicy thing. Really full looking and...
Recently, I'm sorry.
No.
We're almost out of time.
I have to talk about my wonderful husband's book.
Oh, definitely.
Oh my gosh, he'll kill me. So Ernest Green, my darling husband, has written a modern take on the story of O, the erotic novel.
I heard it's fantastic.
The book is called Master of O. You can get it at masterofo.com. Comes in ebook or paper. It is a really great erotic novel. All the sex is kinky. All the sex guaranteed taken from life. Really. Taken from life. Half the stuff I've done with Ernest myself, and the other half I've helped him or witnessed him do to other people. So none of it is pulling sex out of his ass. It all happened.
So if someone's craving more in the way of 50 Shades of Grey, since a lot of people who read that book were like, to give me more, this would be the perfect thing to go
to. And this has, but this person, all the people in the book who have sex are kinky. Mm-hmm. No one has any trouble about it. It's not about their childhood. It's about what gets them off. They're unabashed, unashamed, dedicated to Kingsters. It is a guilty pleasure because it also works as consumer porn and fashion porn and object porn, because there is a connection between the fetishization of objects and the fetishization of sex. And it's a great, fun, rompy read.
Is there is there a character in it who's just discovering their kinkiness?
Nope. Everyone's full on, full tilt boogie. And so,
full tilt boogie.
Did you ever watch The Sopranos?
No, I didn't.
Was it, what blew people's minds away at the time is that from the opening episode, and also with Boardwalk Empire, you just were dropped into the scene. There was no person going, "What's this? What?" So there's no exposition. Everyone in the book is who they are. They are as they are. They have no qualms about it, and you're thrown into the deep end. But he brings you along very well. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Quick last question. If it's okay.
Of course.
This is since we've talked about how to have penis and vagina sex, kind of from the focus of female pleasure, I get asked a lot about, from women, what to do when they're on top. You kind of freak out a little bit. Some of it's body image, but a lot of it is just, do I swivel my hips? How do I make this guy feel good?
For the most part, and this is in movies, you often see, don't do cowgirl like you in the movies, woman on top, because the guy has her held down to his chest and is just using her as a fuck doll upside down. So in real life,
I don't even know what that reference is.
If you watch most porno, when they do cowgirl, is female astride. So back in up to the 80s and up to the mid 90s, female astride movies, she had a lot of freedom. She was doing all the movement, bouncy boobies. You know, she had a lot of control and a lot of freedom of movement. And now in the last 10 years, what I've noticed is if you see a girl, female astride, most movies, his ass is off the edge of the couch. He has pulled her to his chest. And so she's nothing but something that he fucks up into.
Right. And then he's doing all the movement.
All rabid fucking. So again, this is where porno is not, this is where porn is entertainment. It is not sex education. So ladies, if you want to ride his Mercedes, most men are happy to have lady astride because boobies in the face, woo, always good. So you're already 10 minutes ahead of everybody else because men like boobs, praise them, yay. Secondly, they get to see all of you and they don't have to hold themselves up. If I'm going to do cowgirl, I like the gentleman in a chair with no arms or sitting up at the edge of the bed. And I'm sitting astride. So I can lean in and kiss him. I can lean back and he can put his thumb on my clit. I can put a vibrator there. I can put my own hand on my clit. But basically, if you just use him as a sex toy, he's going to have a good time. So find the spots that work for you. If a guy likes you, you know, some guys can be bent toward their toes. Other guys cannot be bent toward their toes. So obviously if he goes, ow, stop that position. But most guys, honestly, my favorite thing, get the guy in a narrow chair, put your feet on the floor, grab the back of the chair and just grind and stroke him with your vulva till your vulva feels really good. He's probably going to be going, this feels really great. Any partner worth our salt wants us to be having a good time.
Absolutely. Yes. A supportive environment for sure. I have the things that I share with people that to help them in terms of hip awareness and leaning forward and how to tilt your hips a little bit
you have to have hip mobility. You cannot be stiff. And that's something that's personal work. Afro-Haitian dance, Pilates, anything that, you know, Betty Dodson's book, Sex for One, just becoming aware of your hips, becoming aware of the energy is blocked or flowing through your hips is important.
And possibly if you want to squat, great quads.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Female stride sex is,
it's athletic.
Very. Yeah. I see now why guys are strong the way they are. Yeah. Although in the moment I realized the other day I was fisting somebody and I was getting tired and I just like, damn, this is such a workout. Cause using your arm, then you're using your whole body, and then you're rocking back and forth because, oh my God, when they're young, she's like 27, she's so young and healthy. It's like, you are just so strong. I'm dying here.
in that her vaginal muscles are just fighting back.
Her vaginal muscles are strong and she has a high capacity for pleasure.
I see.
So she likes she likes fucking. Uh-huh. Yes, she does. Yes, she does very much. Thank you. Fucking is good. And so, and unlike a penis, my hand can't come, so I'm not getting I'm not getting rewarded that. I'm getting rewarded by the visuals and the feeling of it.
Right.
But my hand isn't orgasmic, so it's not going, anything she wants, anything she wants. So finally, I had to say, I called it. I can't believe I called it.
I mean, I guess.
And like 15 straight minutes. And it's like, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if you, with the, she had the Hitachi on her clit. And I love you to death, but if you can't come with this, we gotta find something else. Because mm-hmm. I cannot do this anymore.
Okay.
My shoulder, I can still feel my shoulder. It was like Tuesday, it was Wednesday, it was Friday. My shoulder's going, okay, I'm sort of there, I'm sort of back. I can feel my hand again.
Sports therapy for your fisting. Oh, Nina, thank you so much for coming by.
Anytime. You know, I like talking with you. Yeah. You know, and I'll flirt with you for as long as you know. It's maybe we'll have to share somebody between us. If you get somebody who wants to learn a new skill of either gender,
okay,
I'll come over and help teach this person a new skill with you.
Okay.
So sometimes we have to like ease into it because educator to educator, you know.
I get real weird with threesomes because I don't get insecure. I get analytical.
If you're not the object of attention, so we do. So someone like you and I, we're both analytical. I have a hard time receiving. It's very hard for me to lay back and receive. There's very few people I can do that from. But you and I could. If someone really wanted to learn a new thing, mm-hmm. or honestly, what we
or do, experience
we,
a new
we
thing,
we get a greedy little sub who loves being the center of attention. And some women praise them are very comfortable being the center of attention. They're totally okay with giving into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love giving attention, so that's a win-win. Mm-hmm. Right? And you like giving attention. You like it talking. So we had somebody between us.
I like that we're taking this moment to negotiate a possible future threesome.
Yeah, so find anybody. So, you know, if you ever want to try this or that, I got someone who'll help me with that.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Anytime to call. Dude, uh-huh. Anytime. I have gloves. You know, have gloves, we'll travel. I say dress. It's not about me.
All right. Okay. Nothing's coming to mind immediately.
In the next 10 years.
No.
See, my thing is...
I also feel like kind of shy because it's my show.
But unless you change greatly in the next few... This is an open-ended invitation.
Thank you.
And anytime the next 10 years, it's like, Nina, remember that? It's like, absolutely. I can't imagine... It's been 30 years of professionalism and 40 years of being into this, 45 years. It hasn't changed yet. I don't think my nature is going to change in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm saying I'm interested in it now, I'll be interested in it always.
Okay.
Because that's just the way that I roll.
Thank you. I love that it started out as, oh, I've been flirting with you. Oh, you've been flirting with me? Because I thought Nina was just being friendly, you know? Because, you know, yay, you know.
I find you attractive in body and spirit.
Thank you.
And mine, too. Actually, you're smart, too. And smart's a huge turn on for me.
Yeah, sapiosexual, sapiosexuals.
Yeah, yeah. I call it sapiosexual, homo sapien, so I'm going to say sapiosexual. Isn't that Dr. Susan Block? Didn't she start with the sapiosexual?
Did she? I just kept seeing it on Facebook, and somebody started a sapiosexual.
I like this big intelligence turns me on. I just, because I don't need romance with my sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need a penis in my vagina to think I've, quote unquote, had sex. I don't even need to have an orgasm to think that I've had sex. Because orgasm mm-hmm. for me is just such a fraud. It's just, I can be sexual 5 times in 5 days and only have one orgasm at the fifth day and I'm okay with that. I sleep well at night. I'm not frustrated. Mm-hmm. I don't have blue balls. I don't walk around. I ramp it up and then it calms down. Yeah. Ramp it up and then it calms down. So the time I have sex with Ernest again, it's like, hello, he's good. Plus he's just still hot to me. So that's awesome.
Have you seen the music video for the comedian Reggie Watts's, If You're Fucking?
No, but I love Reggie Watts. Have you seen Shit Fuck Stack?
I have. Okay, well, let's finish this up. Yes. And we need to go watch that right now.
Okay,
let's get over to the laptop. Nina, where can people find you out in the world?
Ernest's book is Master of O. You can get that at masterofo.com.
Great.
Not Safe for Work, Nina.com. And then if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at Nina Land. And the official Nina Hartley fan page by Hardy Touch Facebook. I'm really bad that way.
Naughty.
And I've written a book called Nina Hartley's Guide to Total Sex from Avery Press, available on the interwebs.
Oh, marvelous. Well, thank you for this. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I appreciate you, and I do dare say we will. Let's go watch that video.
Yeah. Go team fun.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.